My name is Alan Morse, and we're having another study, or verse-by-verse study in Galatians. A verse-by-verse study in Galatians, we're going to start chapter 5. This has really been a good study, and I enjoy it. I enjoy teaching the Bible verse-by-verse, and we'll continue to do that as long as God allows it to happen. So let's go turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to start with verse 1. Now, we went over that this last time, but I think it doesn't hurt to go over things again and again in many ways, because this is tremendously important. People got to understand how important this gospel is. So let's start at chapter 5, verse 1. It says, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's telling us that we are to be stand fast and not be entangled with the yoke of bondage. And what the yoke of bondage was at this time? It was the law. These Judaizers, these Jews that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, was coming into these churches and telling these people that, telling these believers that were believed by the grace of God, that believed the gospel, that they should be circumcised in order to be saved. And then they told them they had to keep the law in order to be saved. And we don't know how many other things they told them, but those are the two that were mentioned. So he told them to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with Christ hath made you free, and not entangled with the yoke of bondage. You don't add anything to the gospel. When you do it, you're going to avoid the gospel. That's tremendously important. When Jesus said he died on that cross and he said it was finished, that's exactly what it was. He finished. He paid the sin debt for mankind. He did it. He saved you. He did everything. He did everything. We did nothing. He died for our sins. All he asked you to do is to believe it. And when you believe that, that's when he does. He just gets started. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. He actually lives in you the rest of your life. And he keeps you until the day when Christ comes back to take us home, or the day that we die. How wonderful! But he does it all. All we have to do is believe, plus nothing. And it shows this here, right here now. He says, verse 2, he says, Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. Think about that. If you're a believer in the gospel, and you say, well, I better be baptized, because they tell me I need that to be saved, Christ profits you nothing. Profits you nothing. You add nothing to the gospel. I mean, I've told pastors that I wouldn't have a baptism, a place to baptize people in the church ever if I was a pastor. Because all it is a footstone. A foothold for Satan himself, you see. Well, we don't baptize for salvation. We just baptize to let people know that they can show people that they're saved. I said, if they got the Holy Spirit, water isn't going to make any bit of difference. Their people will know they're saved when the Holy Spirit comes in, because they'll become a whole new creation. That's what the book says. You'll become a whole new creation in Christ. Old things will be passed away, and all things will become new. That's what happens when you believe the gospel. And you don't need to do anything to prove it. You'll just automatically do everything to prove it, because your whole life will change. But anyway, in verse 3 it says, For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect to you, whosoever you are, that is justified by the law. No effect. If Christ is no effect, you're damned. I mean, you're on your own, and you cannot get to heaven on your own. You only can do it through believing the gospel, see? He says, and then if you keep the law, you have fallen from grace. Then verse 5 says, For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, or uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. See, our faith is by the love of God. What he loved us so much, he died for us. See, it worketh of love. He died for us. it's hard to comprehend. He died for us while we were yet sinners. He loved me even though I was a sinner. And he died for me while I was yet a sinner. And the love of Christ to us is beyond our imagination. Verse 7. He's talking to these Galatian people, and he said, did you run well? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What's the truth? The gospel. It's the gospel. Are you going to turn your back on the gospel to do the things that the Judaizers want you to do? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Who called them? God did. God didn't persuade them to turn their back on the gospel. He's the one that called you. He called you, he said. And then it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We know what that means. It's kind of like taking a rotten potato and put it in a sack of good potatoes. And it won't take long till the whole sack is rotten. And that's the same way with adding to the gospel. You take and put you put a works, attach it to the gospel, it makes it no effect. It might as well all be rotted away. Because God won't do it. He will not do it. He won't allow it to happen. When people go to heaven, and the only people will be there that believe the gospel, there will be no I in heaven. Because everybody knows in heaven the reason why they're there is because of what Jesus did. They did nothing. And that's why we'll be praising God for eternity. He did it all. All we did was believe it. There's nobody going to come in heaven and walk up to you and start telling them how good a person he was and how many souls he saved and how many missionaries he supported and all the things that he did in his life and everything, how good he was. You see, it's not going to happen. Because, you see, if there's any good done by us, it's going to be rewarded. It's going to be the good that God did through us, see. When God will work through you, he lives in you, and he'll work through you. He'll point you to do the things that you should do. But he's going to do it, see. He'll do it through you. And he will get the rewards. And when Christ gets the rewards here on earth, we'll get the rewards in heaven, see. When he gets the glory here on earth. But if you take the glory on earth, I've got people, they're always saying, well, I've done this, and I do this, and I do this, and I did this. I said, well, you just got all the glory you're going to get. Because you're going to watch all this burn up, because you're not going to be anybody saying a word up in heaven about how good they were, because you don't have nothing to be good anyway, because it's going to be burned up, all the good that you did, because you took the glory of it here on this earth. You see, I won't point to nothing that I've done, because everything that I've done is God working through me. It's not me doing it. I'm not talking to you now. It's the Holy Spirit through me that's talking, because I'm dealing with the Scripture. I'm using his word, not my word. His word. Verse 10, it says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. In other words, if you're a person or your church that points a person to adding to the gospel for their salvation, you've got a problem. You've got a big problem. And we all saw in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that if there's a pastor up there anywhere in this world teaching any other gospel than what Paul taught for salvation, they're accursed. I didn't say that. The book said that. We read that. Right after, there's two verses, verses 8 and 9. If you teach any other gospel than what Paul has taught, then you're accursed, see. And this person here, he's going to be dealt with judgment, whosoever he is, who's causing these Galatian problems. And they will be. And it says, I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? See, he doesn't preach circumcision. And that's why he has been persecuted. See, the Jews persecute him horribly. We've got time. I want to show you this. Let's mark this where this is at so I don't lose my place. And let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And look what Paul went through. And the Jews were the ones that did it to him. It says here, verse 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received 40 stripes, save one. We know the cat of nine tails. We know we saw what happened to him when Jesus was used on Jesus. The darn near cut him in two. Well, Paul had it happen 5 times by the Jews. They beat him with it, and then they threw him in prison. You know what those prisons are there? They're holes in the ground. There's just a hole in the ground. They lower him down in that hole with a rope, and that's it. And, you know, they throw some food down, maybe some water. There's no bathroom facility, so it's just like a cesspool down there. And if you've got your back beat to death, and you go down there and you're just raw meat solid, and how it keeps from getting infected, I don't know. But it didn't. He didn't. And he got out of there. And what did he do? He preached the gospel. He preached the gospel every time. That's all he did was preach the gospel. 3 times he was beaten with rods. They say rods are just as bad. They say rods can just literally just almost kill you. Because it knocks the wind out of you the first hit. And the second hit hits you before you can get a breath. And pretty soon you can't even breathe. And then you find out that you've got your back busted. You've got vertebrae broken in your back. You've got ribs broken. And it's horrible. And he's thrown in prison after that also in those holes. He says, I suffered shipwreck a night and a day. I've been in the deep and in journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils of the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watching, often in hunger and thirst and fasting, often in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily was the care of the churches. I don't think there was any man that went through more horrible, horrible persecution than he did. And not only that, the only way he could stop him from giving the gospel is they cut his head off. Yeah, Nero cut his head off. That's the only way he could stop it. Because when he was in prison all those times, he wrote these letters in prison, most of them. And when most of those letters were written, he was in prison. But he continued to preach the gospel and teach the gospel wherever he was at. And it's just hard to imagine. So yes, he went through all kinds of problems. I have confidence in you, there, Lord, that you be non-otherwise minded, but be troubled, that you will bear his judgment, whosoever he is. And I, brethren, verse 11, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they would ever be cut off, those people who trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by the love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's how the law is fulfilled. We love our neighbors as ourselves. And you find when you have Christ living in you, you'll have a love for people you never had before. You'll have a concern for their salvation you never had before. And God's going to give you an opportunity, you see, to be involved in pointing the gospel to people. And it's nothing more fun. There's nothing greater than doing so. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. Then verse 16, this says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and yet you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what I tell people. Will your whole life change? Become a whole new creation in Christ. And when Jesus is living in you, it makes all the difference in the world. Your priorities change. You won't want to sin. I mean, you will not want to sin. It just isn't. It's not in you anymore. It's impossible almost. You just do everything you can do to keep them. Now, if you do, you know, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying God's got it covered. He's got it covered. His blood, he's paid for your sins. And we believe that. And that's not a license to sin, because we don't want to sin. That's the last thing we want to do is sin. And if everybody had that attitude, we wouldn't need policemen. We wouldn't need jails. Because if you don't want to do something, very obvious, very good chance, you're not going to do it. And that's how we feel about sin. See? That's how we feel about sin. For the flesh lusts after the spirit, and the spirit again the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if, here it is, obviously the old sin nature tries to come back. But you see, he won't. To a great extent, and the reason why is because when you believe the gospel, what you do, you reckon that old sin nature has been also crucified on that cross. We reckon that old sin nature also was buried. And so when Christ rose from the dead, you rose with him as a new creation, and the old things have passed away. What are those old things? That old sin nature has passed away. What's passing away mean? It's dead. If you reckon it dead, it's going to be dead. And it's not going to come back on you that much, especially when you've got Jesus living in you. It makes all the difference in the world. It's just like it says in verse 18 here. It says, but if you be led by the Spirit, and you are led by the Spirit, you've got Christ living in you. See, this God and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. When you got one in you, you got all three of them in you. And when you got God and the Holy Spirit and Christ living in you, you're going to be different. It's going to make all the difference in the world. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, you don't have to be under the law, because God's never going to point you to sin. He's always going to point you to a closer walk with him. He always will. He says, but then he talks, but he's going to tell us what the works of the flesh are. But you see, we really don't need to know this. But these people did. See, these people came out of, they were total, they had no idea what sin was. A lot of these things here that they were involved in, but they didn't know they were sin. It was just part of it. It's like people that lie. You know, there's people today that lie and don't think anything about it. You know, they just do it. And they probably did too. And so he got a list of things that we should stay away from. You know, look what it says. But let's see. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, seditions, heresy, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that mean that you're saved? These people are saved people, see? He only talks to saved people. And if one of these people does one of these things, does it mean that they're not going to be saved? No. No. To say that is say that Christ didn't pay for their sins when he died on the cross. No, he paid for the sins. He paid for all those. And if we've done any of those, they're paid for. But what does it mean then? It means that your inheritance in heaven, you're going to lose your inheritance in heaven. That's what it's going to mean. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're going to lose your inheritance. We have a tremendous inheritance in heaven. But you see, that isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. All these things that he mentioned, it's not going to be a part of your life. It just isn't going to be. You just don't want to be involved in it. You want to serve that living God that's living in you. You see? And that's what true salvation is. And if you've got people out there that are doing these things all the time, I question that they are saved, because they just can't do that if God's living in you. I'm not saying that we don't make mistakes, and I'm not saying that I won't sin before I die. But I'm telling you that if I do, I'm not concerned about it. That's not going to take my salvation away, because my sins have been paid for. But if I do it, you know, I'll feel bad about it. But God will literally bring you closer to him. He'll just pick you up just like a baby boy is 2 years old trying to walk, falls down. You don't just slap him because he falls down. You pick him up and get him going again. That's what God does to us. When we make a mistake, we're his children, see. He picks us up and puts us on the right road. He isn't going to take and do away with us. We're His children. Would you do away with your child? No matter what he did, he's still your child. You see, I've got boys, and no matter what they've ever done in their life, it don't make any difference. They're still my child, and that's never going to change. And it's never going to change with you when you believe the gospel, because the Holy Spirit will come into your life and make all the changes in the world in it. It may not happen overnight, but it's going to, because God's going to live in you, and He's going to make a difference. And that's why I tell people, if you've got problems, if you're a sinner right now, I don't care what you are. I don't care what you've got in back of your mind. I don't care if whatever you've done. God, when you believe the gospel, He will take you out of that sin. He will. There's been many, many people who are hooked on drugs and can't get away from them. But when they believe the gospel, they can walk away from them, because the Holy Spirit is in them and gives them the ability to do it. You can't do it any other way. I've heard them telling about people going there and just telling them, believe in Jesus, and they're going to be fine. They never are fine, you see. But when they believe the gospel, what He did for them, when they truly believe that Christ died on that cross to pay for their sins, and He was buried, and He rose from the dead, and they voice that to God, He will save them just as like He saved me or anybody else, and He will pay for their sins. And He'd cover their sins as if they never did them. And He will walk with them the rest of their life and keep them until Jesus comes. See, He will keep them blameless until Jesus comes. It's just wonderful, wonderful. Now, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what we're involved in. And when you're involved in these things, how can you be involved in those other things? Okay, let's just look at it. Verses 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You'll find that when you believe the gospel, love will be just beyond your imagination, the love you'll have for people that you never did before. And concern. Joy. Can you comprehend the joy that you have when Jesus lives with you? And when you know that no matter what happens, He's totally in control. And there's no way that you're going to ever die. You're never going to die. You see, that same Spirit that's in you was also in Christ and raised Him from the dead. Now will raise you also. We don't have to worry about death. We'll never know death. Oh, my people, my friends will know I'm dead. Yeah, they'll bury me, you see. But I won't be dead. My soul and spirit will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ in the spiritual body until I get my new body. I'll be able to communicate up there. You just read over in Luke 16. Those people, spirits, were talking back and forth to each other. And that we'll be able to do so. They recognize each other. We're not going to be a spirit and a soul floating around up in heaven. We're going to be human beings walking around, doing things. You see, it won't be our glorified body, but we'll have a body. And so we're never going to die, you see. It's not going to happen. And can you imagine the joy because of that? It's just beyond my imagination. Peace. Man, that's the one that's really nice. I mean, you truly have peace. You don't have any worries in the world because you know God's with you. He's living with you. He's working with you. He's going to take care of you no matter what happens. And it's just hard to even comprehend that love that He has. He can give you that peace. Long-suffering. You know, long-suffering is something that's tremendously important because we have to deal with people. And people don't just jump to your what you would hope they would do, you know. But you never give up. You're long suffering. You're always there with a smile on your face and love in your heart for them. Maybe they don't believe the gospel right away, you see, but you just love them to death. And eventually they'll see the love of Christ in you and they'll want it in them. And they can't get it until they believe the gospel. They can't understand the word of God until they believe the gospel. And when they do, their whole life will change. And we have to be long-suffering. We have to be gentle. It's true. We've got to be very gentle with people. We cannot be boastful. We can't be prideful. We've got to be gentle. Of course, goodness. I mean, that's just a gimme. It's just impossible not to have goodness in your life when Christ is walking with you. Faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we have faith because we believe the gospel. Faith, as far as I'm concerned, is believing the gospel. My faith is always in the gospel. It's no place else. It's when Jesus died for me. That's my faith. And he was buried and he rose from the dead. Because that's saving faith. There's no other saving faith than the gospel. And there's no other faith that's worth anything unless it's dealing with Christ. Meekness, self-control. Those things making all the difference. You'll find that all of a sudden you'll want to say something, but you won't do it. You'll have self-control because God will stop you. He said, no, there's a better way to go about that. You just stop and think before you start to talk. And he done that many times to me. Self-control. Okay? Against such things, there is no law. See, there's no law against all these things. You see, these things, what makes life worthwhile for the believer and gives us an opportunity to be able to spread the gospel. And it says, and they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of the lust. See, we've crucified it. This old flesh of ours, we nailed it to the cross. It's been crucified. And that's how we can walk with God. Because we don't have it hanging around us no more. We have our total focus is on him. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's what we do when Christ is with us. We're walking in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory or provoking one another or envying one another. No, we're just going to live the way God points out for us. We're going to follow his direction. Let us pray. Dear Father, we praise you and thank you for this study and this your scriptures and your word. And I pray that people can understand it and that they would come to know the saving grace of the gospel, the saving knowledge of the gospel for their salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.